Kill Radio. Hello, my friends. It is Friday evening, about 8:05 in the p.m., and you are listening to Frequency and Phrenology with me and Dr. Groovy. Hello. How's your Friday evening going? How was your week? I hope all is well with you and yours. So, if you would like to call in, you may do so here at the Kill Radio Studios in Los Angeles, California. And this is a live show on February the 1st, 2008. Thanks for tuning in. The number here is 213-252-0998. And on the AOL Instant Messenger, or maybe other instant messengers, because I don't know this stuff so well, you can type in killradio.org, killradio, O-R-G, all one word, and I will be here for you. So, let's see, what do we have tonight? We got, you know, the music kind of thing, we're going to have some medical news, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a little skin virus called molluscum contagiosum. Sounds fun, right? I'm going to see if I can tune in to a little bit of a replay of the Democratic nominees doing their debate that happened last night at the Kodak Theater in Los Angeles. And we'll see if we can tune into a little bit of that. And, you know, whatever else comes down the line. Perhaps DJ Tommy Salsa will be joining us tonight by phone or in person. And upcoming, in the next couple weeks, we'll be having Douglas Lee, a Chinese musician who came over to my house and recorded some stuff. I think I'll have that next week. And then we have DJ Ali Bombay coming in the next couple weeks. So Friday evenings, 8 p.m. to 9:30, you can join me, Dr. Groovy, for songs and sounds to mold your mind. Frequency and Phrenology. We'll be right back. You are listening to Kill Radio, Frequency and Phrenology. Dr. Groovy here with you on Friday evenings. What's going on, my friends? It's flu season. So if you're not feeling so good, and keep in mind that when I say flu, I mean influenza. And so that's a little bit different from your regular everyday cold or nausea, kind of throwing up sort of situation. Influenza, generally speaking, you got a lot of aches and pains all over your body, usually a fairly high fever, and generally speaking, some kind of respiratory issue going on, but it doesn't have to do with nausea and vomiting. Flu is not that. That's something called gastroenteritis. Point being, if you have the flu, there are medications, there are antivirals that can help. So if you're feeling like I just described, you can see your health practitioner and maybe get some medication for it. And generally speaking, something called Tamiflu or Zanamivir is the best way to go. There are some viruses, influenza viruses, that seem to be possibly resistant to that treatment, but most of the types of flu that you could get still would be taken care of by that. So keep that in mind, because 'tis the season to be sick with something. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. You know what I'm saying? I'm like your mama. It's true. Let's see if we can kick into some presidential debate. Let's see what's going on. If we can get anything here.
Massachusetts right now embarks on
Barack Obama,
where they mandated coverage. And by the way, I want to congratulate Governor Schwarzenegger and the Speaker and others who've been trying to do this in California. Hmm. But I know that those
sounds
who have
like
looked
an
at
opening
it
speech.
You can mandate it, but there's still going to be people who can't afford it. And if they cannot afford
must
it,
be health insurance.
Then the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to fine them? Are you going to garnish their wages? You know, those are questions that Senator Clinton has not answered with respect to her plan, but I think we can anticipate that there would also be.
Isn't it funny that Barack and Hillary seem to be like, chatting and telling each other secrets now?
Go ahead and respond.
Well, let me start by saying that this is the passionate cause of my public service.
Just ate at King Taco the other night.
Trying to expand health care many years ago, first to children and to rural areas in Arkansas, and obviously tackled it during my husband's administration. And the reason why I have designed a plan that, number one, tells people if you have health insurance and you're happy with it, nothing changes, is because we want to maximize choice for people. So if
sounds
you are
good.
Satisfied, you're not one of the people who will necessarily, at this time, take advantage of what I'm offering. But if you are uninsured or underinsured, we will open the congressional health plan to you. And contrary to...
I still need to know what these health plans entail. I don't understand
to,
any of them, really.
The description Barack just gave, we actually will make it affordable for everyone because...
That's a nice thought.
My plan lowers costs aggressively, which is important for us all, improves quality for everyone, which is essential. And the way it covers all of those who wish to participate in the congressional plan is that it will provide subsidies. And it will also cap premiums, something that is really important because we want to make sure that it is affordable for all. So when you draw the distinction that, well, it's not affordable, therefore people will have to be made to get it, well, the fact is it has been designed to be affordable with health care tax credits. And it's also important to recognize that right now
credits.
There are people who could afford health care, and they're not all young. They're people who just don't feel they have to accept that responsibility. There are many states which give families the option of keeping children up till 25 on their policies, but their rates of uninsurance are still very
high.
Adult
adolescents.
We cannot get to universal health care, which I believe is both a core democratic value and an imperative for our country, if we don't do one of three things. Either you can have a single payer system, or, which I know,
I don't know
a
if
lot
that's
of people
work.
Favor, but for many reasons is difficult to achieve, or you can mandate employers, well, that's also very controversial, or you can do what I am proposing, which is to have shared responsibility. Now, in Barack's plan, he very clearly says he will mandate that parents get health insurance for their children. So it's not that he is against mandatory provisions. It's that he doesn't think it would be politically acceptable to require that for everyone. I just disagree with that. I think we as Democrats have to be willing to fight for universal health care. And what I concluded when I was looking at this, because I got the same kind of advice, which was, it's controversial, you'll run into all of this buzzsaw, and I've said, been there, done that, but if you don't start by saying you're going to achieve universal health care, you will be nibbled to death.
Kill Radio.
And accountability to offset the power of the special interests and lobbyists. If the drug companies or a member of Congress who's carrying water for the drug companies wants to argue that we should not negotiate for the cheapest available price on drugs, then I want them to make that argument in front of the American people, and I will have experts who explain that, in fact, it is legitimate for drug companies to make profits, but they are making outsized profits on the backs of senior citizens who need those prescription drugs. And that is an argument that the American people have to be involved with. Otherwise, we're not going to get any plan.
Senator Clinton, we remember in 93, when you were formulating your health care plan, it was done in secret.
Well, it was an effort to try to begin this conversation, which we're now continuing. It has been a difficult conversation. There have been a lot of efforts, and I'm proud that one of the efforts I was involved in 10 years ago resulted in the Children's Health Insurance Program. We now have 1 million children in California who every month get health insurance because of that bipartisan effort. We obviously are running into the presidential veto and not being able to expand it. But this issue is so important, and I just want to underscore three really critical points. First of all, I have said in my plan that we have to regulate the health insurance industry differently. We have to say to them that they can no longer deny coverage to anyone, and they have to cover everyone, including every pre-existing condition. And they have to compete on cost and quality instead of the way they compete now, which is to try to cherry-pick people and only insure the healthy and make it so costly for people with diabetes or cancer or some other chronic condition. Secondly, we've got to make it clear to the drug companies that they do deserve to be part of the solution because we all benefit from the life-saving remedies they come up with. But we pay for it many times over. It is American taxpayers who pay for the research. It is American taxpayers who pay for a lot of the clinical studies. That's why while we're looking at getting to universal health care, we also have to give Medicare the right to negotiate with drug companies to get the price down, to begin to rein in those costs across the board. And finally, it is so important that as Democrats, we carry the banner of universal health care. The health insurance industry is very...
Flying high.
Oh no, oh no. Here we go now. Oh no, oh no. Here we go now. Daddy thinks I'm crazy, he don't understand. Never saw inside my head. People think I'm crazy, but I'm in demand. Never heard of what I said.
Frequency and Phrenology on Kill Radio.
You want to get your soul to heaven?
we cover everybody and use the money from the top-end tax cuts and from modernizing the system.
Gene has a question on a different subject, but I just want to be precise. When you let, if you become president, either one of you, let the Bush tax cuts lapse, there will be effectively tax increases on millions of Americans.
On wealthy Americans.
That's right.
And look,
you're willing to go into
I'm
this.
I'm not bashful about it.
You're listening to Frequency and Phrenology on Kill Radio. Potentially pay a little bit more. Hello. A little bit more. Dr. Groovy here. We've got the we have, I believe, Democratic National to make sure that everybody has the candidates who are in this country. And one last who just did a debate yesterday on Thursday at the Kodak Theater in Los Angeles. It's being played on KPCC on their online listening web stream. So I'm just checking out little bits and pieces of it. I think it sounds really especially good with drum and bass. So I thought you might appreciate that idea. So let's tune in to see what Barack Obama's talking about now, eh?
A healthier population. That is the
Frequency
only
and Phrenology.
For the long term that we can actually control that spending that is going to break the federal budget.
But, Wolf, it's just really important to underscore here that we will go back to the tax rates we had before George Bush became president. And my memory is people did really well during that time period, and they will keep doing really well.
All right, Gene.
On immigration. The Republicans have had a pretty fierce debate over immigration, and it's now pretty clear that that's going to be an issue for you all as well, not just in the general, but it's bubbled up in some of the primaries. And it's a divisive issue for you all as it is for the Republicans. And that was pretty evident when we got a question through Politico. This is from Kim Millman from Burnsville, Minnesota. And she says,
thanks, Kim.
There's been no acknowledgement by any of the presidential candidates of the negative economic impact of immigration on the African-American community. How do you propose to address the high unemployment rates and the declining wages in the African-American community that are related to the flood of immigrant labor? Senator Obama, you want to go first on that? And it's for both of you all.
Well, let me first of all say that I have worked on the streets of Chicago as an organizer with people who've been laid off from steel plants, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, and you know all of them are feeling economically insecure right now, and they have been for many years. Before the latest round of immigrants showed up, you had huge unemployment rates among African-American youth. And so I think to suggest somehow that the problem that we're seeing in inner city unemployment, for example, is attributable to immigrants, I think is a case of scapegoating that I do not believe it. I do not subscribe to it. And this is where we do have a very real difference with the other party. I believe that we can be a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants. Now, there is no doubt that we have to get control of our borders. We can't have hundreds of thousands of people coming over to the United States without us having any idea who they are. I also believe that we do have to crack down on those employers that are taking advantage of the situation, hiring folks who cannot complain about worker conditions, who aren't getting the minimum wage sometimes or aren't getting overtime. We have to crack down on them. I also believe we have to give a pathway to citizenship after they have paid a fine and learned English to those who are already here, because if we don't, they will continue to undermine U.S. wages. But let's understand more broadly that the economic problems that African Americans are experiencing, whites are experiencing, blacks and Latinos are experiencing in this country are all rooted in the fact that we have had an economy out of balance. We've had tax cuts that went up instead of down. We have had a lack of investment in basic infrastructure in this country. Our education system is chronically underfunded. And so there are a whole host of reasons why we have not been generating the kinds of jobs that we are generating. We should not use immigration as a tactic to divide. Instead, we should pull the country together to get this economy back on track. That's what I intend to do as President of the United States of America.
right, so that's such an exciting, exciting debate, isn't it? So, did you listen to it? Did you check it out? Did you check out the Republican one? Are you checking out all this stuff? Are you going to vote on Tuesday? Super duper Tuesday? Not just Super Tuesday anymore. This is Super Duper Tuesday. So just get ready. It's going to be the landslide. The snowstorm. The shitstorm. The sandstorm. Sand kicked in your eye. What's going to happen here? We're going to have a McCain versus... Who would run with McCain? Would he pick Giuliani? Yeah, I guess that's why Giuliani probably gave him his support. So McCain-Giuliani versus Obama-Clinton? Do you think that's going to happen? That'd be wild. That would be kind of super duper crazy. Hey, you're listening to Kill Radio, Frequency and Phrenology. I am Dr. Groovy. Songs and sounds to mold your mind. I think I'm going to kick in some Tom Cruise talking about his Scientology award a little later. That was stellar. Coming up, my old band Breach, Steve Miel. Thank you so much for letting me stay up there. And this is for you, my friends. 213-252-0998 if you want to give a call. KillRadio.org on the instant messenger.
able to crush these guys.
Specifically, psychiatric drugs at the core of all education failures, and which were wreaking violence across American schoolyards. Spelling out the links, he dropped letters in the laps of the 100 most powerful people in media and education, and then again, right to the top.
We were able to work with the Food and Drug Administration and talk to them a little bit about this and raise some questions. And sure enough, about 3 or 4 months later, the cover of Time magazine, are we drugging our kids too much? And yes, of course, we are. And we have to do something about it.
And that started an avalanche, with legislation in states across the U.S., an outright ban in the U.K., and the FDA finally mandating black warning labels on psychopharmaceuticals. But when it comes to whole tract suppression, Mr. Cruise doesn't only hit them at the flanks.
Not only has Tom Cruise personally toured more people through CCHR than anyone I've ever known or seen, but he also has gotten people that he knows to do the same thing.
Tom is more involved in CCHR than any other Scientologist that I've come across in my 27 years.
Oh, I'm going hard at those guys. I'm going to end their reign. You know, these psychiatrists, I've had it. Absolutely had it. It's disgusting to me.
We actually have an easier time getting people off heroin than methadone or these psychiatric drugs, and I've worked very diligently to educate people about this.
How they can justify it and how it suddenly becomes this reality of it's okay, you know, because other people can't confront it.
Psychiatry doesn't work. You look at the things that psychiatry has brought to society. We now are living in a time where we spend over $700 billion a year on education, psych-driven, and where are we?
Okay, you know what? Go to guns. I've just had it. Absolutely had it.
Now, they can't call it disease, because if they did call it disease, they would have to prove, you know, medically what these things are. You know, this whole thing about chemical imbalance, well, they can't prove any of that. No mercy. None.
Then there's the backstage briefings to reporters in the afterglow of Ceflex.
The CCHR and the website. I'm telling you, when you study the history of psychiatry and the effects and who these guys are, it is. It's crimes against humanity. Yeah.
At which point, at least 50 million more were reading why Tom Cruise wants psychiatry outlawed.
Now, I remember I was doing an interview with someone. A young lady, and she said, so, I really want to understand who you are. And I said, okay. I said, well, I'm a Scientologist. And she goes, yes, no, but I want to understand who you are. I said, no. You better read about, you know, go read about what Scientology is. And she said, well, no, but I want to know who you are. I said, no, I'm a Scientologist.
And he makes it known, between everything else for which he's known as the biggest movie star ever. Night after night, city by city, through 18 and 20-hour days, Tom Cruise travels this world, meeting with ministers, ambassadors, and the American State Department, advancing LRH technology straight into the corridors of power. His presence alone opens the door for expansion. From the 10,000-strong crowds drawn by his presence and welcoming our new church, to the land of intolerance where he entered a Berlin mayor's palace to take the very symbol of that city, everyone knows when Tom Cruise touches down.
Tools that people can apply to their lives to make them better. It's about improving conditions. It allows you to find out for yourself. There's things that we can do to help you not be a criminal, get you off drugs, a way to happiness, clear body, clear mind.
Study technology.
Criminal program. Doesn't matter what religion you are, these things work.
And he's been doing it for years.
Been a Scientologist for 14, 16, almost 20 years.
And if they should so much as raise an eyebrow, he throws down the gauntlet.
These are people's reaction.
No, I think maybe people say that to you. They don't say that to me.
Oh.
And given all else he's carved out across this world, you'd have to live in a cave not to have heard about it. Tom Cruise isn't just at the cutting edge of Scientology as a cultural trend. He's the blade. And it registers on every cultural barometer. For at least 2 decades, he's defined what's hip, And as of summer 2004, what's hip is Scientology. And if some people don't like it, well, and the numbers he reaches are astonishing. Across 90 nations, 5,000 people hear his word of Scientology every hour. Moreover, every minute of every hour, someone reaches for LRH technology or steps onto the bridge simply because they know Tom Cruise is a Scientologist. And combined with all else he contributes, he has recast the future for whole generations.
Oh my goodness, Tom Cruise is amazing. He's like a god of Scientology. I'm not worthy. There's no way I could be anywhere close. There's no hope. I think I'm gonna turn to psychiatric medication. Dr. Groovy on Frequency and Phrenology. Tortoise, My Bloody Valentine, coming up next. Having fun with the old computer today. YouTube and live web stream, or actually, sorry, replay web stream of the Democratic presidential nominees at their debate last night. We'll tune into them again a little bit later. How about that? But for right now, you will finish listening to the Tortoise Glass Museum.
Thank you. I worked with Ted Kennedy. I worked with Dick Durbin. I worked with John McCain, although he may not admit it now.
Wow, that's a lot of Obama tonight.
To move this issue forward aggressively.
That's
and
okay.
It's a hard political issue. Let's be honest. This is not an issue that polls well, but I think it is the right thing to do. And I think we have to show leadership on the issue. And it is important for us, I believe, to recognize that the problems that workers are experiencing generally are not primarily caused by immigration.
There are no doubt. Senator Clinton's policy was not, in your words, humane?
What I said was that we have to stand up for these issues.
Doesn't this sound good with German base?
And that's what I've done. I did it when I was in the state legislature, sponsoring the Illinois version of the DREAM Act. So the children who are brought here through no fault of their own are able to go to college. Because we actually want well-educated kids in our country who are able to succeed and become part of this economy and part of the American dream.
Was she lacking on that front?
You keep on trying to push on
this. I'm just trying to find out what you mean.
There are those who were opposed to this issue. And there have been those who have flipped on the issue and have run away from the issue. This wasn't directed particularly at Senator Clinton. But the fact of the matter is I have stood up consistently on this issue, on the driver's license issue. I don't believe that we're going to have to deal with this if we have comprehensive immigration reform, because as I said before, people don't come here to drive, they come here to work. And if we have signed them up, if we have registered them, if they have paid a fine, if they are learning English, if they are going to the back of the line, if we fix our legal immigration system, then I believe we will not have this problem of undocumented workers in this country, because people will be able to actually go on a pathway to citizenship. That, I think, is the right approach for African Americans. I think it's the right approach for Latinos. I think it's the right approach for white workers in the United States.
I want to let Senator Clinton respond, but were you missing in action when Senator Obama and Senator McCain and Senator Kennedy started formulating comprehensive immigration reform?
Well, actually, I co-sponsored comprehensive immigration reform in 2004 before Barack came to the Senate. So I have been on record on behalf of this for quite some time. And, you know, representing New York, the homeland with the Statue of Liberty, bringing all of our immigrants to our shores has been not only an extraordinary privilege, but given me the opportunity to speak out on these issues. When the House of Representatives passed the most mean-spirited provision that said if you were to give any help whatsoever to someone here illegally, you would commit a crime. I stood up and said that would have criminalized the Good Samaritan and Jesus Christ himself. I have been on record on this, against this kind of demagoguery, this mean-spiritedness. And, you know, it is something that I take very personally, because I have not only worked on behalf of immigrants, I have been working to make conditions better for many years. I was so honored to get the farm workers' endorsement last week, because for so many years I have stood with farm workers who do some of the hardest work there is anywhere in our country. So we may be looking at the immigration reform issue as a political issue, and it certainly has been turned into one by those who I think are undermining the values of America. It is a serious question. We have to fix this broken system. But let's do it in a practical, realistic approach. Let's bring people together. And I think as president, I've been going to town halls all over America, and I see the people out there, thousands of them who come to hear me. And you know, they're nervous about immigration, and for the reasons that the economy isn't working for people. The average American family has lost $1,000 in income. They're looking for something.
A while ago, and I called in, and then you were going to put me on the air. I was going to, like, weigh in on, you know, politics or something, and then you had dead air, and then...
Oh, how did I have, like, dead air?
Well, no, we, I don't know, something happened, and, like...
Goodness. Oh, that's right. I think I remember that.
We were just trying to troubleshoot and get... We were just trying to troubleshoot.
Did you notice that you're on the air now?
Oh, yeah.
Did you just hear that? Did it freak you out just a little bit?
Oh, yeah, there's a little bit of a delay. No, we were just trying to troubleshoot. And finally, and then you were telling everybody to turn their volumes up on their radios.
That's right.
And then, because you could just barely hear it.
We had a problem with the, what's the DSL thing or something? There's like a little box down there that, like, it's got this thing called normalization or something, and it was just totally messed up. And actually, I fixed it by kicking it.
Oh.
I don't know if you recall that, but basically I just jostled it around, and it actually started working again later on.
Yeah, it was like, you could, I got to put it on a little here. It's like, kind of throwing me off.
Did you turn it down? Turn it down, because that'll confuse you.
No, but like, you could barely hear it, and you were like, yeah, turn your radios way, way up, you could hear it, and then finally when it went on, it was just like this blast of...
That's right. Like, I think I shot off some people's speakers that night.
Blasted my rooms up.
It was a bad situation. So what's going on? Do you want to say who you are? Gentleman caller.
What's that?
Gentleman caller.
Yeah, I'm Gentleman Caller.
Gentleman Caller, okay, GC.
Yeah.
Very good. GC, what do you have to say about the state of affairs today?
Well, I'm thinking Hillary won already.
You think Hillary won?
Well, I think if you think of it in terms of, you know, political families.
Yeah.
Like, the family, or the Clinton family.
Right.
You know, like, 20 years ago, Bush, King George the First.
Yeah.
Ruler of the American Empire, was elected.
Okay.
In 88.
Uh-huh.
And then 8 years later, we had Clinton.
Yeah.
For 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, no. It was,
and you would liken him to?
4 years later. Well, it's been rotating between two families, basically. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think at this point, the way, you know, with all the, you know, the oil, you know, the war for oil, all the oil that's at stake.
Uh-huh.
And all that, it's, you know, the military-industrial complex is going to install the president just like they have, you know, just like they did in 2000 and 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, you know, they're going to install somebody that they can trust.
And who
you
is
know,
that?
Like certain...
Who do you think they can trust? Do you think they can trust a woman?
No, but if you think, you don't think of her, that's very misogynistic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I try.
No, but if you think of, you know, Hillary not as, you know, just a single candidate, but as part of a political family. Well,
yeah.
You know.
But then what do you say about the fact that the Kennedys have now backed Obama? Because that's really, I mean, you know... I don't know what you would call, you know, the royalty of politics, but Kennedys are right up there, I'd say.
Well,
you know, that was pretty major, I think.
Yeah, but what have the Kennedys done? I mean, Ted Kennedy's a senator, and you know.
Yeah, but it's the name, man. It's the name. You don't have to have done anything and have that name. Actually, you could have killed someone with that name, and you're still doing pretty all right, right?
Oh yeah. Kind of comes along with.
So I thought that was a pretty good move for Mr. Obama. But yeah, we just don't know until Super Duper Tuesday. Are you ready for Super Duper Tuesday?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Well, the thing also about the Clintons is they haven't lost an election in over 20 years.
That's pretty major. But has she been part? I mean, like, she wasn't the candidate. Right?
What's that?
She wasn't the candidate.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's been senator of New York for...
Oh, good God, you're right. I just totally had a brain fart there.
Well, I mean, no, but not for
good
president.
Good point.
No, but you're right. A big thing, you know. Yeah, hasn't it? But I think they've been paving the way for that.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. They have been.
I mean, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is third in line
mm-hmm.
president now, so... So I think, it's, you know, the Clintons have studied politics and campaigning, and, you know, the last time they lost an election was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When, you know, Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas.
I'd still say I don't know if they're really, you know, if they're really running this smart, though. I still think that she's not coming up looking so good in a lot of places, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm dubious.
Yeah. Well, it's still... still pretty early.
So what about the Super Bowl, man? Who are you going for in the Super Bowl?
Got some bets out? I've just been wanting New England to lose.
Everyone wants New England to lose.
I don't know why. Yeah, I know. Is it because
they're like the little prima donnas. I mean, not that they are, but, you know, Tom Brady kind of is.
I don't know why, but you should probably be rooting for a team to... That would probably be the proactive thing to do, but...
Yeah.
I've just been wanting... I just want the wind to go... I just want the rug to get pulled out from underneath them.
Yeah.
The Patriots. Maybe because they cheated, but, you know, I guess, you know, they were just exploiting every possible opportunity to gain an advantage, but I guess I'd like to see them lose, you know, because, I don't know, root for the underdog.
Right.
The Giants.
I like it. That sounds good.
Well, who do you like?
I'm kind of leaning on that, on the Giants, just as an anti-Patriots kind of move. I do have some people who like the Patriots around me, and if they're listening, I'm sorry. But honestly, I could go either way, and DJ Tommy Salsa just got me into a pool for, the game itself, which, like, apparently has nothing to do with any actual skill or knowing what's going on. It's just, like, numbers that if they show up in the score, you can win money. So that's what I'm really going for. I honestly don't care.
All you care about is odds and points and whatnot.
Exactly. I want to win the money is what I'm saying.
You don't want to lose your $500 that you've...
Oh, hey, I don't have $500 to throw around. This was $20, my friend. 20 buckaroonies.
Oh, okay. Well, it should be a good game anyway.
Yeah, it should be. All right, man. Well, let's see. I'm going to tune in again to the old presidential nominee debate. And thank you so much, GC, gentleman caller.
Yes.
For calling in. What's your favorite radio show on Kill Radio?
My favorite radio show?
Yeah. On Kill Radio. On the internet radio that you're listening to right now.
Well,
let's see if you can remember.
the one about the frequency and the phrenology.
You are so right.
Having the brain pan of a stagecoach tilter. I'm going to have to go with the phrenology show.
Good deal, man. You learned some phrenology. It's good stuff.
All right, I'll let you get back to your...
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Yes, you are listening to Frequency and Phrenology. I am Dr. Groovy. Hello. Hello, how's it going? I was just hearing some beeping on my phone, so I'm going to be going to check to that very soon. Let's go see. That was our gentleman caller for tonight, GC. I think I'm going to start using that globally for anybody who's a guy who calls. And, so who are you rooting for on Super Bowl Sunday? Give me a call, 213-252-0998. Let me know. And let's see if we can hear... If we can't hear any more presidential stuff, then I'm going to play another Tom Cruise bit because he is so rad.
And said, you know what? When I read it, I just went, this is it. This is exactly it. Being a Scientologist, when you drive past an accident, it's not like anyone else. As you drive past, you know you have to do something.
It's not like anyone else.
You know you're the only one that can really help. But that's...
Bullshit.
That's what drives me, is that I know that we have an opportunity. And, really help for the first time effectively change people's lives, and I am dedicated to that. I'm absolutely uncompromisingly dedicated to that. The orgs are there to help, okay, but we as also the public, it's like We have a responsibility. It's not just the orgs. It's not just Dave Miscavige. You know, it's not just me. It's you. It's everyone out there kind of rereading KSW and looking at what needs to be done and saying, okay, am I going to do it or am I not going to do it? Period. And am I going to look at that guy or am I too afraid because I have my own out ethics to put in someone else's ethics? And that's all it comes down to. Because I won't hesitate to put ethics in on someone else, you know, because I put it ruthlessly in on myself.
I love this stuff.
And I think that I respect that in others. And, you know, I'm there to help, and we're here to help. And my opinion is that, look, you're either on board or you're not on board, okay? But just, if you're on board, you're on board just like the rest of us, period. We are the authorities on getting people off drugs. We are the authorities on the mind.
The authorities.
The authorities on improving conditions.
Dr. Drew, move over.
Criminon. We can rehabilitate criminals. Way to happiness. We can bring peace.
Peace, love.
And unite cultures.
The world. Everything in the universe.
That once you know these tools and you know that they work, it's not good enough that I'm just doing okay. Traveling the world and meeting the people that I've met.
Lucky dog.
You know, talking with these leaders in various fields.
Pause.
They want help.
Sorry.
And they are depending on people who know and who can be effective and do it. And that's us. That is our responsibility to do that. It is the time now. Now is the time. Okay? It is being a Scientologist, people are turning to you, so you better know it. You better know it. And if you don't, you know, go and learn it, you know? But don't pretend
that
you
guy.
Know it, and, or, for, you know, whatever.
Wow.
We're here to help.
Tom Cruise. The greatest representation of Scientology since John Travolta in that battle from Earth, get up. All the mucus hanging out of his nose and stuff. Remember that? All right. Unfortunately, I have no more of the presidential debate going on. It is done. I missed out on the rest of it. But that's okay because you really know what they stand for anyway, don't you? Oh, are you saying you don't? Well, you may want to read up on it before you have to vote on it. It's an idea. And I'm talking to myself, of course. All right, my lovelies, you're listening to Frequency and Phrenology. It is Friday evening, February 1st, 2008. This is my birthday month. So for everyone out there listening, on the 26th, you better be sending me gifts. Gifts because I want presents. That's right, you can send them over here to Kill Radio, 3806 Beverly Boulevard, Suite 201, Los Angeles, California, 90004. That's right, presents for Dr. Groovy. I'll take lava lamps, psychedelic beads, clothing, scarves, headscarves, sunglasses, boots, bags, art that you made yourself, as long as it's not disgusting. Oh, speaking of which, not disgusting, but I saw my medical students perform in the vagina monologues last night, and man, were they good. If you guys are listening, nice work. I'm proud of you girls. I thought I'd be a little scared of it, you know, because all the vagina cunt slash gash talk, but it was actually really good. Really good. And had some moments that were a little uncomfortable, but, you know, you got to have those uncomfortable moments to be able to learn. Right? And to give a nod to the strong female types, we're going to play some Alpha Shemale next. That's right. DJ Messy Stench used to be part of our Kill Radio family, now has her own radio show on her own website. Messy Stench, Alpha Shemale on Kill Radio, Frequency and Phrenology.
Busy. I need a doctor.
Dr. Groovy, coming down to the end of the Frequency and Phrenology hour and a half for Friday evening. Feel free to check out my MySpace page, myspace.com/Dr. Groovy, or Frequency N Phrenology. Frequency with an N and then Phrenology. You can get in touch with me through either of those two, and I post these shows so you can download them later on because they're so exciting to listen to later on. And I know you may want to check them out again because they're that good. So if you'd like to, there you go. And Darby, if you're out there listening, good to hear from you, man. We'll talk soon, I promise. Got to hear about what's going on in your life. Sounds pretty wild. And let's see, I have a little fun little medical tidbit here. A new study reveals that part of what's going on in our heads when we can't stop scratching. According to the paper detailed in the Journal of Investigative Dermatology, researchers at Wake Forest University found that scratching activated the areas of the brain associated with memory and pleasure. Furthermore, the team discovered that areas of the brain associated with unpleasant or aversive emotions and memories became significantly less active during scratching. For the study, the researchers scratched the lower legs of 13 healthy participants for 30 seconds and then measured their response using magnetic resonance imaging technology. The scans revealed that scratching induced deactivation of the perigeneural, I think they spelled that wrong, but I'll check on that. The perigeneural anterior cortex and in the dorsal and ventral posterior cingulate cortex. That's right. Which is heavily involved with memory. The group concluded that perceptions of itch are highly influenced by our experiences, memories, and expectations. Now, who knew there was so much in a scratch of an itch? It's pretty incredible, huh? And who knew that was something to spend money researching? Pretty incredible. But, you know, it may lead to something. It may lead to something because there are a lot of people who have problems with neuropathy, which is a nerve damage such that people have really burning pain all the time. And if we can figure out how to help that, that would be really great. So maybe this is kind of a step in the right direction trying to help those people. And I said earlier that I was going to tell you about a little skin situation, another dermatologic issue called molluscum contagiosum, which is actually a very benign condition. And it's a virus, a pox virus, but it's very benign, doesn't cause any real big problems, and can cause these little pearly papules. So they're probably about 2 millimeters to 3 millimeters in size with a central divot in them. They don't hurt, they don't itch, they just pop up. Not a real big deal, it's not going to turn into anything. The natural course is to have them for 6 to 12 months. It is contracted with skin-to-skin contact, so if there is somebody who has the virus in their skin, or they have those bumps and you gotta rub them, I think. It's not just you lightly touch them, it's like you gotta really get into it with them. And you could get them too. Not a real super big deal, but for some people it can be very distressing. So go check out your healthcare practitioner if that's concerning you, if you've got those kind of pearly papules, about a millimeter in size, that they just pop up. Not a big problem, but you can get them checked out, you can get them treated, or you can just kind of watch them. Molluscum contagiosum. That's some medical tidbits for you for tonight. Dr. Groovy here for you on Frequency and Phrenology every Friday night. Let's see what the Killers are talking about now, okay? Hey, this is for Milton, if you're listening. See ya. Hey, Frequency and Phrenology is going to be signing off 9:30 on Friday, so come on back next week, Friday evening. I'll be here. You'll be here. More people will be here. We'll have a big old party at Kill Radio. Going to down to Tykes tonight to see Spain. Come on down if you want to check it out. Have fun with the Super Bowl. Love your Kill Radio. Peace.